child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I am a slave.
Singing before the message this morning. It's still time for you to come and do prayer if you have a need. Don't walk out of here carrying that burden alone. Give it to the Lord this morning. Cast every care upon Him as He cares for you.
In your presence, Lord.
your presence, of the Lord, were placed in this basket many, many months ago. Several, represented by the pieces of paper and the names here, have come to Christ. Many of them have not yet come to Him. But we are still believing God to save their souls. And Jesus, we are crying out to Him as the Lord of the harvest. Would you just agree with me in prayer? Hallelujah. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we are declaring salvation for every soul represented by the names in this basket. We know that you love them. We know that you died for them, Jesus. We know, Holy Spirit, that you are calling them and dealing with their hearts even now. And we just declare in the name of Jesus their salvation. We call them from the north, south, east, and west to a place of repentance, to a place, God, of where they can cry out to you to be born again, to be made whole. We ask you to deliver them from the chains of bondage in their heart, in their life. We ask you, Lord God, to open their eyes to the light of the gospel that they might be saved. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare that work in them that will bring them to wholeness and abundant life in Christ. And we give the glory and the honor and the praise unto you. And continue to anoint us, Lord, to reach out to them, to minister to them, to share with them your truths. And we will give you the glory and praise. For we know you are the Lord of the harvest. And we believe it is harvest time. Thank you, Lord God, for every one of them coming into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Can the church say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Amen. As you can tell from my voice, I am still battling. So I will try not to breathe on you. But I am delighted that you are here. And we're going to minister the word of God this morning again to all of the hardy souls that have made it here. From the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, reading two verses of scripture, verse 19 and 20. This is the New King James translation. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Father, I am depending upon you to continue to anoint me and help me both spiritually and physically today to honor your word and to share your heart with your people. And we give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Blessings or cursings? Moses is about to die, and his final message from God is about the future of the Israelites. He's saying to them, you can choose life or you can choose death. If you cling to God, you live. If you reject him, you die. In fact, he said, you'll die right here in the wilderness. You'll never enter into the promised land. The future is up to you. Don't you know the future is always up to us? Don't let the devil make you think you have no control over your future. That is not true. You do. You may not be able to control everything about your future, but you certainly have the ability to choose life. As I usually do during the Christmas holidays, I began thinking about the end of the year 2017 and the beginning of the new year that is upon us even now. Last year was filled with highs and lows. They were times of rejoicing and they were times of weeping. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Actually, almost every year, that is true. Every year there's things we rejoice about and are thankful for, and there's things that we're just happy to get through and survive or overcome. I reflected upon everything that I've gone through this year, and one thing became quite clear to me. Every blessing, And even every negative thing or assumed curse has brought me closer to the God that I serve. The good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, it all has led me to be more thankful that my life is in His hands and not in my hands. The old Andre Crouch song, Through It All, declared, if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. As I mentally was looking forward to the future, I reasoned that a new year could bring a new season of opportunities for me. But I'm wise enough to understand that new seasons begin with new commitments. Things don't get better just because we want them to. Things get better because we choose to make the commitments that lead us to more productivity in our life, that lead us to victory, that lead us into those things that God has prepared for us. While praying this year, there was a fivefold commitment that came into my mind. In 2018, I want to act more graciously. I want to love more selflessly. I want to serve more generously. I want to think more positively. And I want to trust more completely. Those are lofty commitments for sure, but that's the commitment of my heart as we begin this new year. But as I was thinking about those things and pondering them in my heart, I whispered to the Lord, God, how does that happen? If those are the things I want in my life, how do I make that happen? And quickly, two promises of God came to me that I want to share with you right now. The first promise is found in Matthew 7, 7 and 8. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, and all of you, I would imagine, are familiar with it, or most of you, if not all. The Bible said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He didn't say some people, but he said, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, I would suggest to you that on the Sermon on the Mount, he wasn't even preaching to the church. The church hadn't been established yet. He was just telling people a fact. Ponder on that for just a moment. If you ask, it will be given. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened to you. Bible scholars tell us that the grammatical tense in which this promise is written means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And you will receive. You will find. You will secure what you're wanting from your Heavenly Father. What an awesome promise. The second promise is found in James 1, 6, 7, and 8. But let him ask in faith without or with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wow. The double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. In Matthew 7, Jesus promises us that the Father wants to minister to our needs. And then James comes along and says, but if you are double-minded, you get nothing. In the context of the holidays, that would be like coal in your stocking. Well, what is a double-minded man? Because one promise is as true as the other. God's word doesn't lie. Well, a double-minded man is a person who is drawn in two opposite directions. His allegiance is divided. And because of his lack of sincerity, he vacillates between belief and disbelief or unbelief. Sometimes thinking that God is going to help him, and at other times giving up hope in God. Now, I hope that none of you here are double-minded this morning, but I've met a lot of them over the years as a pastor. As long as things are flowing smoothly, people tend to have great faith in God, but as soon as they start to stumble or things go wrong or they have some issues in their life or some unexpected difficulties arise, some of them begin to doubt whether or not God is with them, whether he is for them, whether he has a plan for them. And that double-minded person, James says, this is a promise from God. You're not getting anything from the Lord. Did you know there's no greater sin than the sin of unbelief? In fact, ultimately, that's what sends people to hell. Because any sin you commit can be forgiven, but if you don't believe, you cannot be saved. Unbelief began in the Garden of Eden when Eve chose to believe the serpent and not to believe God. When God said, if you eat of this fruit, you're going to die. Unbelief brought her destruction. Revelation 21:8, at the end of the Bible, it says, the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That might be the only time this entire year I've used the word brimstone. Are you a fire and brimstone preacher? I'm not exactly sure what that means. But he says in his word that liars will end up in the lake of fire. Turn to someone and say, I don't want to go there. Psalm 78, the writer recalls Israel's rebellion in spite of God's goodness and judgment. In fact, he gives a whole litany of God's blessings upon them. And then also even shares some of the judgments of God in Psalm 78. And it says, in spite of this, in spite of the blessings or the judgments, they still sinned and did not believe in the wondrous or miraculous works of God. I've met people before who said, you know, well, if I ever saw a real miracle, I might believe. And I told them, well, you're looking at one. Because I am a miracle of God. I'm a miracle because I've been saved. I'm a miracle because I've been born again. I'm a miracle because I've been delivered from sin in my life. I've actually experienced physical healings and miracles as well. But the truth of the matter is, even if people see the miraculous, they still may not believe. Because the children of Israel saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet the Bible says their bodies were scattered across the desert because of unbelief. In Hebrews 3, in fact, the writer speaks, they had an evil heart of unbelief. God says unbelief is evil. If we don't believe God, we have an evil heart. Why? Because he created us with a knowledge of who he is. In Romans, the Bible clearly says every one of us were born into this world with a knowledge of God. And if we don't believe, it's because we've chosen not to believe. Listen, they had an evil heart of unbelief. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So we see that they could not enter into the rest of the Lord because of unbelief. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 2:12, they all will be condemned who did not believe the truth. What we believe is important. Believing or not believing is important. We can only act more graciously. We can only love more selflessly. We can only serve more generously. We can only think more positively by trusting more completely. The longer I serve him, the more I'm convinced that if we believe, all things are possible. And if we don't believe, we will not see the things that God has promised for us. Because that double-minded person, that person torn between two spirits and two ideas and two directions, can never truly see and perceive and receive the very blessings that God has for them. In Romans chapter 1,
verses 16 and 17, the Bible said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who..." Anybody know the next word? "Believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith," or the justified shall live by faith. "The redeemed of the Lord, whose sins no longer they carry, live by faith." Now, the word "believes" there is an interesting word. It means to entrust your life to someone else. It is not about just mental assent. It is not about a thought or an idea. It is about a total commitment of who we are. It literally means to entrust your life to someone else. Look it up in a Strong Concordance if you don't believe me. It literally means to become Christ's apprentice. To let him be in control and in charge of your life. Why? Because if you surrender to him in trust, then he can create in you his righteousness that will enable you to live forever in the kingdom of God. It's not simply believing that Jesus exists. The devils know he exists, and the Bible said they are fear and tremble. But it's that belief that says, "God, I'm going to quit driving this vehicle. I'm going to get in the passenger seat, and I'm going to let you be in control." And the problem with most of us is that we've done that 150 times this year. We do it all the time. We let him be in control until we don't like where we're going or what we're going through, and then we want to grab the steering wheel. Hello. You ever seen what happens when a passenger grabs a steering wheel? Usually the vehicle flips. You know. And I've seen a lot of people whose lives have flipped upside down because they could not trust God. And I'm talking about Christian people who love the Lord, but they're going through some dark places in their life and some difficult times in their life, and in those difficulties they assume, "This can't possibly be the will of God. What good can come out of this?" How many of you can look back and see good coming out of things that you never thought could be good? Let me see your hand. Go ahead, stick it up. Praise God. You're a testimony to everyone that is here. Because there's some things that we just don't want to go through. But we have to trust God. We cannot be vacillated. We cannot say, "God, I want your will to be done in my life as long as it's my will too." Doesn't work that way. But when we surrender to the will of God and we trust him, he said, "Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open to you." Just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep believing, keep trusting. And I will do what is in your best interest. When Sue battled cancer over 10 years ago, one of her theme songs was, "If You Hear Me." And by the way, we were at Lowe's the other day because Chuck Anderson said that we need to get a new refrigerator. And as bad as I felt, we went out and went to Lowe's and talking to a salesman that's there. I'm not trying to be offensive. Lowe's may be the best place in the world to buy stuff. I don't know. But it was kind of strange because what they advertised online, they didn't have in the store. And they even advertised, "If you buy this refrigerator, you get a free ice maker." Except there's a back order of about 1,000 of them for 6 months. I'm saying, what? Well, you can go ahead and get the refrigerator, but the ice maker, we'll just send it to you when it comes in. I said, well, when's it come in? He said, I don't know. And he spent about 20 minutes on the computer. And he says, well, according to this, it came in a week ago or a few days ago, but we don't have them. And we got a back order of, you know, people. And I said, no, I don't want the refrigerator without the ice maker. That's why I'm getting a new refrigerator. My ice maker quits working because it won't get cold enough. But anyway, while we were in there, he started complaining about his shoulder. And my wife said, what's wrong with you? And he said, oh, he said, I had back surgery a few months ago. And he said, I slept wrong on my shoulder the other night and it's killing me. And she said, can we pray for you? And he goes, what? Can we pray for you? I need to be whole. I don't need to just feel better. She said, that's what we're praying for. We're going to pray for God to heal you. And then she started giving her testimony about how God healed her of cancer. And all of you, I think most of you, if not all of you, know that story. And he said, okay, so right there in Lowe's, she put her hand up on his shoulder, and he said, wrong shoulder. So she put her hand on the other shoulder, and I put my hands on her. And right there in Lowe's at 3:30 in the afternoon, we just prayed for God to heal him, to save him, to forgive him, to cleanse him, and to minister to him. That was a divine appointment. I was frustrated till we prayed for him because it was a whole waste of time until then. But there was a reason why we were there, because we had an opportunity to minister to him. He became so sweet and so nice, you know, and apologized for the advertising, which he had no control over. But I said that to say this. We either trust him or we don't. In fact, the words to the song are these. Either you trust me or you don't. Either you'll serve me or you won't. Does my word still suffice? Did I really pay the price? Have I left you all alone? Someone else sitting on the throne? If you hear me, then I said it. If I said it, I will do it. If I do it, then it's done. Not you will win, but you have won. As we get ready to begin 2018, I want to ask you, quit talking like you're hoping God will do something in 2018. First of all, he did some things in 2017. Hello? You know. I know that the major harvest hasn't come yet, but people got saved in 2017. Some in this church, some from prayers of people in this church. People have been ministered to, and sometimes we kind of walk around, you know, like, if we haven't had some major explosion, nothing's going on. Well, I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit was doing a major work in our church in 2017. I believe that with all of my heart. But I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. And 2018 is not something I'm hoping for. It's something I'm believing, because God has spoke his word to us, and he will keep his word. He is not a man that he should lie. He will fulfill what he has said. The promises and the prophecies over this church will come to pass because God said it. And I'm not just hoping for it. I'm believing that now is the time. I'm not cursing the days of small blessings. I'm thanking God for every one of them. But I'm looking forward to what is yet to come. Somebody say amen. Because either we believe him or we don't. Either we trust him or we don't. I choose to believe. I choose to trust God so that I can act, love, serve, think, and trust according to his will and not according to my circumstances. Would you bow your head with me in prayer? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I'm not going to fall into the trap of just simply waiting for something to happen. Too many people are just waiting and hoping for something to happen. I'm thanking you for every good thing you've already done, for all the good things you are doing, and for the things that will be done in Jesus' name. I am grateful that I'm within a few hours of overcoming 2017. And I rejoice with every blessing, and I put every burden on the altar again. When I pray in the new year tonight, I'm dumping everything 2017 has on that altar. And I'm getting up thanking you for the victory of 2018. And that every promise is ours in Christ Jesus, who is yea and amen. God, we got to believe. We can't just keep hoping. The world is full of people that hope. They're hoping for miracles. They're hoping for victories. They're hoping for a better year. But we know that victory comes through fresh commitments. New seasons begin when we start thinking differently and start acting differently. God, help us to trust you, to truly be believers by putting all that we are, all that we have, all that we ever will be in your hands and rejoicing in the victory that is already won. In your holy name, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of unrighteousness. Fill us with your Spirit. And let us walk in victory every single day, because you purchased our freedom on Calvary. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. While the worship team leads us in a song of worship, would you just stand to your feet, and would you renew your commitment to Christ this morning by giving him all of 2017 and giving him all of 2018, trusting him to do what he desires to do in our lives. Let's worship him together. Father, we give you praise and honor right now for your word. I don't know what all 2018 is going to bring, but I trust you. I know, God, there will probably be some challenges along with those blessings, but I expect those challenges to help me grow, to help me step up, to help me give a greater commitment of my life to you. Oh, God, purify us and cleanse us. As we get ready to begin a new year, Lord God, let us begin with faith and confidence that you are in charge of our future, because we've committed it to you and we love you with all our heart. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord.
Jesus,
we love you.
We love you, Lord.
And we can't get enough. All this is for you.
We are for you.
Jesus, we love you. We'll never stop. We can't live without you.
That's how you feel this morning.
Jesus,
sing it to him. Make it your prayer and your praise.
We love you. And we can't get enough.